children, to the sick, to the elderly, and to the poor.
The Coast Guard's responding to an oil spill about 40 miles southeast of Venice, Louisiana, in the Gulf of Mexico. An underwater pipe was fractured Friday. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com. And hello once again, Boomer Chat Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
And we are analog, living in a digital world. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and the tech news you can use each and every weekend. We're on for 2 hours. Of course, you can pick us up live on KCNR, Shasta Reading, or listen to the KCNR archives. Or if you've missed previous shows, you can download them at iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play. Also, go to BoomerTechRadio.com, and you can download shows directly from there as well in case you're not into the podcast thing. So, lots of possibilities. Thank you very much for joining us. We occasionally do shows live on KCNR, but right now Brenda's doing fire things, and she's busy doing fire things.
Working.
She's working. Working for a living, living while she's working. A lot of the stories that we do cover on this show come to us courtesy of Flipboard, which is a news aggregator. And if you want to follow along, you can subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio on the Flipboard app. You can see some of the stories that we're looking at during the week. Since we lack an enormous staff to go out and find, gather material and write stories, we're not quite there. We don't have a staff to answer the phone. Would I have a staff to answer our voluminous, well, okay, not voluminous emails. But you got us, and we apparently some people seem to enjoy what we have to say. So
let's hope.
Yeah. Hey, if you can't wait for Pacific Rim 2, and you absolutely got to have your giant robot fix, oh boy, on October 17th, the giant robots will battle each other Gundam style for our amusement. It is a streaming event. Eagle Prime. Don't you love that? That does sound like something.
Eagle Prime.
Eagle Prime. And Kuratas. Is that how you pronounce that? K-U-R-A-T-A-S. A Japanese company has put this robot together.
It's probably something like that. It's a Kuratas or something like that.
You can watch a stream of the battle that will last for days. I'm betting the idea is to knock the other robot over. I bet you it's over in 10 minutes, if that.
So, do they have any armaments on these things?
No, it's all strictly hydraulics versus hydraulics. Now, interesting, these robots don't walk. Both of them are on tracks. The match has been 2 years in the making. In 2015, Megabots Incorporated, a group of U.S. engineers that endeavor to build massive fighting robots of science fiction, video games, and movies, challenged a Japanese robot, Kuratas, built by
Tsubasa Heavy Industries. Now, that sounds like something right out of a plot line, doesn't it?
There's a little video here, and it's really interesting because it shows these two guys in there. They look like they're in a fighter plane. You know, they have a canopy, and they're wearing flight helmets, and the visor from a flight helmet and all that. They have Nomex gloves on and the whole thing. And now, the thing opened the door for its own hangar door.
Originally, they were going to fling paintballs at each other, and the Japanese said, nope, we want metal-on-metal contact. We want rock'em sock'em robots.
They are indeed rock'em sock'em robots. Yeah. Well, this one has, they both, I guess, have what looks like a rocket on one side for, you know, on the one hand, and other things. So, they have quite the course that they're going to make them run as well. This thing moves right along.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
So here's the tail of the tape. Eagle Prime has a slight size advantage, 13 feet in height, weighing 2,400 pounds. The Japanese robot is 13 feet tall at 13,000 pounds, but it may make it more agile.
Oh, my goodness. So. Yep, they are. They're on tracks on the ground. This is rather... You have to go here on our site, Flipboard page, BoomerTech Flipboard page, and look at this video. It is quite interesting.
Well, they aren't planning... They don't want this to be a one-off event. They envision robot clashes as being a futuristic sport.
Now, why not?
The movie with Hugh Jackman, the Robot Warriors, and they were, you know, because boxing was outlawed. So,
right.
And then, of course, you have, you know, we've had BattleBots, and then the opening scene to Big Hero 6. but they were miniatures. This is full size, big, you know, big bots, and this could be fun, you know. They'll like the anime robots. Now, unfortunately, these are not being operated by scantily clad Japanese schoolgirls, which would be just too cool. Because for some reason, that's a staple in anime, right?
I guess.
That the robots can only be operated by attractive young Japanese girls, which they alluded to in the original Pacific Rim, if you remember.
That's true.
That.
Yeah, absolutely. They paid homage to that.
Yeah, I went a little... I just about lost it when that scene popped up.
This thing fires these mega paintballs. I mean, they're the size of tennis balls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Originally, that was going to be
crazy.
The whole thing.
Ooh, it has a flamethrower, too.
Yeah.
No, maybe not.
You know, they probably won't bring that into quite the clause on this thing. Twitch is going to be streaming this thing, and Twitch, of course, is the platform for gamers to show off their prowess. It's a network strictly that does nothing but stream somebody playing a video game, which to most of us probably sounds about as exciting as watching someone, you know, paint a house. But some of these gamers get into it and having tons of fun. So there's
I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Right? Life-size, rock'em,
bigger than life. Yeah,
bigger than life, rock'em, sock'em robot.
What was the robot movie with Jackman where they had the big fighting robot? Something metal. I'll have to look it up.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up. Somebody will think of it, but I'll look it up during the break.
This is thoroughly amusing. Yeah, you have to go here and watch this video. It's the big bot has quite made toast out of the little bot. And, in fact, the guy that was in the little bot went and abandoned ship. He got out and he ran away out of it just so he didn't get in trouble, I guess. So
Real Steel was the name of
the movie
Hugh Jackman and Atlas, the fighting robot. And who knows? This could be the first step towards Real Steel type of tournaments, where it's controlled by a combination of human operators plus some onboard intelligence.
So I'm trying to get this page to work right, and it's doing...
Were you trying to watch the video?
October 17th. No, I did that. It's when you touch the screen, and all of a sudden there's an ad under there, so it goes to the stupid ad.
Yep.
It's quite annoying.
So that's the big robots. And like I said, Pacific Rim 2 is on the way, which Pacific Rim 1, it's a silly, improbable, over-the-top movie. And it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. You know, giant robots and huge grotesque monsters from another dimension. What could be better? You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what we loved about Pacific Rim. It was so sort of campy and predictable, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, the robots are cool.
And Ron Perlman with his steel shoes.
Yes, quite amusing. 10/17/2017 at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Twitch. The Giant Robot Duel. So it ought to be quite interesting.
That'd be good. So while we're talking about robots, you know, lately, there have been so many, throughout Hollywood's history, just about, we have occasionally paid homage to human-appearing, human-acting robots.
Oh, yes.
Not?
Well, it would only be logical that we would make them in our own image.
So here's a few names that, unless you are a science fiction aficionado, won't mean a whole lot to you. Maria, Marvin, Sonny, David, and Ava. Now, if you're a science fiction buff, those will all be very familiar names. Maria, of course, was the original humanoid robot displayed in Metropolis in 1927. And ever since Bridget Helms made that portrayal, audiences have had a love-hate fascination with artificial intelligence, all the way through Ex Machina. Ex Machina's Maria, Ava.
Yeah, right. There's only two in here that I know. Marvin, well, of course,
Marvin,
in reference to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Which we just watched again. If you've got Hulu.
Oh, don't bother.
If all you've ever seen is the movie that came out, 10 years ago, of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, that was that was a remake. And Brenda had to put up with me groaning all the way through it, right?
I don't really remember.
And so I finally showed her the original BBC 6-episode production.
Silly stuff.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It's interesting, though.
Based on a book by Douglas Adams.
The original series, BBC series, is interesting because of the special effects, which were really pretty low tech, but in some ways more effective. I don't know. It just matches the kitschy
The green screen graphics. Well, the green CRT graphics.
In the original BBC series, that Marvin the robot was much better than the Marvin in the new movie.
Yeah, yeah. The characters are roughly the same. David is the robot from Prometheus, which was the prequel to Aliens.
And who was Sonny?
Sonny, I'm not sure of. I've got to look that one up. Anyway, these films show an evolution in attitudes as the robots themselves have evolved. Heightened fear of technologies that at the time of Metropolis, it was worried that robots were going to put us all out of work or take and turn us into their slaves, as was evidenced by the Rossum's Universal Robots, RUR, the stage play.
I should have known that. Sonny's a character from the film I, Robot.
Ah,
that
yes.
That was in
book
as well. I don't think I've seen the movie, but the
I, Robot with Will Smith. You have a copy of it somewhere. I remember seeing it.
Maybe so. Alan Tudyk played the actual, voice of the thing.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, now we know who Sonny is. I remember that now.
We're semi-professional nerds, and we can't even keep up with this stuff. So, ever since, Robot Monster, which was a great Roger Corman film, the monster was a guy in a gorilla suit wearing a space helmet with antenna on it. It was very low budget.
Use what you have, right?
Yeah. Now, artificial intelligence has evolved through things, of course, like 2001 with Hal, who turns out to be nuts, who kind of got his he was sort of redeemed in, of course, 2010 with Roy Scheider, the follow-up movie.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Yeah, but I can't do that. Then, of course, along came, of course, our attitude towards movie robots changed dramatically with R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Right, C-3PO, then Johnny Five from Short Story. Input, Stephanie. Need for input.
And then...
which was filmed in Astoria, Oregon.
Yeah, RoboCop, of course, who, of course, had a human brain underneath all the robotics. Then the... Terminator 2, Judgment Day, the T-800. So all kinds of interesting robots. Through the, originally, Schwarzenegger's T-101 was the villain of the movie, if you will. One of Schwarzenegger's very first roles.
It's also like a battle bot.
But when Terminator 2, Judgment Day came out, he became the father figure to the boy. So... shows like Westworld, Prometheus, Ex Machina have all talked about sentient characters, alarmingly indistinguishable from human. But we are so far from there. You know, Hollywood would have you think that highly intelligent robotics are here now. And honestly, we don't even have a robot that can stand on its own 2 feet and walk across the room without an awful lot of effort.
Yeah, they kind of have problems. There's some hilarious videos you can catch probably on YouTube of robots that they try to get to motor around, if you will, like humans do, and there's spectacular failures.
Oh, yes.
Very, very difficult. That shows you how interesting our ability to be bipedal is, and we don't even think about it, of course.
Right. So interesting, and we know a woman who is getting involved in advanced robotics, and the author makes a good point. By the way, this is all from a magazine called Sci-Fi Wire. The films continue to focus on a relationship between a prominent male inventor and his creation, such as Nathan and Ava in Ex Machina, Arthur Weyland and David in the movie Prometheus. The relationship between the human father figure and his robotic offspring, and world-renowned roboticist named Angelica Lim, she gets a little annoyed at that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I saw that.
And I'm going to say this again, and I probably won't. I'll probably cause some rolling eyeballs. The popular vision of sex robots, like in Westworld, is the client is a human male, invariably, who can't relate to real women. And the robot is the female sex object. Well, I would be... It's something that probably dares not be said, but I'll bet you that the market for male sex robots is going to be just as much.
Could be, yeah.
Well, it just won't be talked about as much because we don't like to think about things like that.
I don't know why this Angelica Lim, who's a world-renowned roboticist at SoftBank Robotics, finds that the stereotype of the father figure of AI is so annoying. It's just false, she says. So I don't know exactly what her problem with this
now,
is.
Now, we still have not figured out how to do things that are popularized in movies like upload our consciousness. How many science fiction references do we have to uploading a human consciousness into a machine?
There were things in Star Trek where the, you know, brain of the captain got in the computer or whatever. Spock's brain in the globe and all this kind of stuff.
We've never have and likely never will pull that one off. It is... neuroscientists are working on an organoid or human brain tissue in a dish. We just haven't figured out how to transplant the information from one brain to another, and that's probably going to remain beyond the realm of possibility for quite some time.
Yeah, it may become possible at some point, but I don't think there's enough known about how the brain works. How does it store data and things like that? I mean, they're still trying to puzzle some of that stuff out.
Yep. So don't fear that a two-legged robot is going to come strolling, because two-legged robots don't stroll to begin with. We still, after all these years and all the money that's been thrown out of, haven't figured out how to make a robotic system that can successfully put one box on top of another and open a door.
That's pretty pathetic. Yeah. All right. We have no no fear of them taking over anytime soon.
Yeah, they're pretty darn clunky. So Mr. Musk's warnings aside, I don't think robots are going to take us over anytime soon. Probably not within the lifetime of your hosts here. But when things happen, things do tend to happen quickly. So right now you've got the iRobot floor cleaner, sort of like Wall-E, but a lot stupider. New York tourists can go to a hotel where the robots will transport luggage to your sleeping pod. Voice recognition. Now I tell every night, I tell the Google Home what time I want to wake up. That is machine learning, but
yeah,
it's a whole bigger step to get into what would be considered a true AI.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, the programmers are quite clever, but a robot cannot suddenly take on sentience. Just has not happened. So, great article. If you want to check it out, Sci-Fi Wire, we've got it linked on the Boomer Tech Radio page for
Flipboard.
For Flipboard, yeah. By the way, if you are a movie buff and you're a Netflix subscriber, scary films coming. I'm trying to get the list of them here. These are some of the top, maybe some films you haven't heard of, because they weren't huge successes at the box office, but they're scary as all get out. The Void.
Halloween's coming up, yes.
Under the Shadow. Now this is nice. The Devil's Candy.
Okay.
It's an interesting cover art on that one. Starry Eyes. Some of these are pretty weird-looking movies. I Am the Pretty Things That Live in the House.
Who comes up with these titles?
Abattoir, which is like a slaughterhouse, right? An abattoir?
I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah. A Dark Song, The Den, Tales of Halloween, which is kind of a goofy movie, a foreign film called Die Présence, The Bar, and Clown, which, boy, it looks like Pennywise on that. Double X, Dig Two Graves, Raw. So interesting interesting films. By the way, there's one that there's a series that I want to watch, of course, Stranger Things. We haven't gotten around to watching that yet. We've been watching apparently the Hulu show the Amazon show The Tick, which has before it was on Amazon as a live action show, was a cartoon on Cartoon Network. Before that, there was a very brief 8-episode live action show back right around the 2000, and before that it was just a comic book. But a very offbeat show. It definitely takes on the superhero genre.
For sure.
Good
it's a
stuff.
Lot of fun.
So no lack of things to entertain yourself with this Halloween season. Maybe watch a movie you've never watched before. Hey, you want to get in touch with us here at Boomer Tech Radio, of course, all you got to do is go to boomertechradio.com. You can drop a line there. Or you can send an email to boomertech Radio@gmail.com. See how easy we make it for you?
There it is, right there.
It's all right there. We haven't, when we do the show live, we have a couple of folks who check in, but we would like to hear maybe some show suggestions, some ideas, things you would like us to look up, just stuff that we want to be the best show that we can be. To bring you the tech news that you can use. So I think we've about beat the whole robot thing to death.
don't look for that too soon.
So as I sit here and frantically punch at a couple of buttons and try
to
get...
That's what you get for being your own knobologist
there. Yeah,
try
to get the theme music back up again. We're taking our bottom of the hour break. It is Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda and the tech news that you can use. Back with more right after this.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Have you received an inheritance or need to roll over a 401k from a former employer? Whatever your investment needs, for experienced, compassionate investment advice, call certified financial planner Tom Wood at the Advice Center at 244-PLAN. He'll take the time to discuss all your investment options for your unique needs. Tom has been helping his clients for nearly 20 years to manage their investments and to lower their taxes to achieve their financial goals. And Tom is offering a free investment tax review all month. He's offering this free investment tax review to help you find out if your investment portfolio is tax efficient or if he can help lower taxes you owe on your investments. Call Tom Wood at 244-7526. That's 244-PLAN. He can help your family develop an investment plan to help you have the financial future you desire. Call the Advice Center for your free investment tax review at 244-7526. That's 244-PLAN. Or go online to theadvicecenter.com. Securities offered through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA, SIPC.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
I'm here with Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists. Doc, tell us about this new system, the DRX-9000.
The DRX-9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal decompression system. The DRX-9000 can effectively treat common and debilitating back pain, neck pain, stenosis, and sciatica.
We hear over and over about people just having or getting ready to have back surgery. Now, why is that?
Too many people are having back surgery when the technology for non-surgical disc repair is right here in Reading.
So when you compare back surgery to non-surgical surgical decompression like the DRX 9000, what are some of the main differences?
Non-surgical spinal decompression is safer, more effective, more financially reasonable, and much less invasive, with no side effects or dependence on harmful prescription drugs.
Explore all options and potentially avoid a painful, long, expensive recovery with back surgery. See if the DRX 9000 is right for you. Call Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists, 243-2300. You can also find them online at ShastaSpine.com.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
And welcome back on Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob. She's Brenda. This tech news you can use. At least we hope you can use it. So, kind of a hats off to the company that everybody wants a product, but everybody wants to hate them too. Apple, down there. They are, the employees have been putting together a fund to California wildlife relief efforts, and the corporation...
Wildfire, not wildlife.
California Wildfire Relief Effort, yes. And the company is kicking in $1 million.
Yep, they decided that they told employees that they would match the donations 2-to-1. The individual donations 2-to-1, and so hats off to the very generous people at Apple.
As of the day we're recording this, Thursday, and these numbers, unfortunately, will get worse.
Well, they will change, absolutely.
24 people confirmed dead. Get this, 436 missing. Now, that does not mean probably dead because the infrastructure has just been destroyed. The cell towers are out. People are still being processed through shelters. Some people just got in the car and drove.
Yep. And they have also found, been able to confirm some that were listed as missing are not missing.
Yeah.
So it's they've been able to do that, too.
Smoke from the wildfires has definitely messed up the air quality. Some businesses shut down. Air masks recommended. But Apple has of course... made donations for relief efforts with Hurricane Harvey and donated $5 million to the cause. So Tim Cook is overseas, but he did tweet out that they are definitely very sorry for what is happening in the Bay Area community and Apple donating to relief efforts. So our hearts and minds here at Boomer Tech, our thoughts go out to the people who have been displaced or lost everything in these devastating wildfires.
Yep. That's we know from personal experience being evacuated from your house, not knowing if you'll be able to go back to it in one piece, see it in one piece or not, is a very trying experience.
Now, I guess this has been a big exercise for Facebook's check-in.
Probably,
app, this is I'm okay.
Real,
A lot of these people who didn't apparently have Facebook, but Facebook has been instrumental in helping people reconnect a lot faster than through normal channels because everything is just overwhelmed. When you wipe out how many thousand homes and displace all those people and lots of evacuations.
It's chaos.
It is chaos. And trying to connect things up. So just we hope that they get these things under control and that the rebuilding process begins. So many homes lost. Nobody's even bothered to get out a calculator
yet. Whole neighborhoods en masse. I'm sure that most of our listeners have been able to see some pictures of that sort of thing. It's quite amazing. Absolutely devastating.
Speaking of Facebook, their chief operating officer, Sheryl Sandberg, has said in an interview that Facebook owes the American people an apology for the way it handled Russian interference in last year's presidential election. Okay, I'm going to say this for myself. I sure as hell didn't change a thing regarding my outlook and what I was going to do for the election based on anything I read on Facebook.
I would agree with that. I sort of studiously avoided most sources of information at the time.
And nonsense, and, well, we've got proof of this, we got proof, and both sides were equally culpable in the just sheer level of crap that was being spewed out on Facebook. I quit looking at it for days. In fact, I still haven't really fully gone back into Facebook. I use it for a couple of things. I'll glance at it once a week. I'll post stuff about the show. But other than that, no, I don't need a Facebook fix. It's off my phone. I have it on my tablet, and that's about it. I look at it every few days, if that. U.S. intelligence agencies have reportedly concluded that Russia used cyber-enabled means in an attempt to help Trump win the White House. The White House.
The White House. Yeah, that's a nice slip. Yeah. I'm sorry, that was funny.
How much is there on this?
Well, not only that, how successful were they? I mean, really, seriously.
Did they really have an effect? I'm thinking that most people already had their minds made up one way or the other. The majority of American voters who I spoke to pretty much said, we got two bad choices here. And I'm sorry, Hillary supporters, that was my feeling, that we had two not great choices. So, Anyway, I'm not sure what fuel this might add to what fire that Facebook is going to apologize. Well, you're not going to nullify the damn thing. Anyway. I'm pretty blessed that Brenda lets me...
Pontificate?
Well,
rant?
Pontificate. Lets me have some of my toys.
There you go.
In the interest of the show and because we enjoy the toys.
It's not like I have to give you permission for these things. It's a mutually agreeable, beneficial arrangement.
One of the things that we got to try out this weekend... or this coming week, is the navigational capabilities built into the iPad Pro. And we opted for the 12-inch model because it's bigger screen for older eyes.
That is handy.
So we have a 4G-enabled iPad Pro with a navigation app. If you're a boating enthusiast, by the way, the Navionics app is pretty good. It's not the cheapest app out there, but it does include a lot of lake data, which most navigational apps don't.
I wouldn't expect it to be cheap if it's decent.
Mm-hmm.
Not hardly.
Samsung's new wearables, the Gear Sport and Icon X earbuds, are hitting stores on October 27th. Company's got pre-orders going for both products. The Gear Sport will cost $300, and if you want the high-end earbuds, that's $200. The Gear Sport has a 1.2-inch Super AMOLED round display. Looks like it's going to be a pretty good rival to the Fitbit, which is struggling a little bit. Going to have a lot of fitness apps built into it. I'm still waiting for that Casio smartwatch that we saw at CES to come out, because that looked interesting.
It may be on the market by now. That's very possible.
If you are a fan of Google's Pixel phones, this weekend, the Pixel 2 and Pixel 2 XL will be on display. You can actually get there and go take a look at them. Now, you can't purchase them yet, but Verizon stores throughout the U.S. will have the two phones on display for you to look at and get your hands on. Pre-orders are open now, and deliveries are scheduled for beginning around the 25th. A lot of nerd types love the Google Pixel because it has a more pure version of the Android operating system, because it is Google's own phone.
Well, yeah, that makes a certain amount of sense.
Yeah. Samsung, now, we love our Galaxy Note 8s. Don't get me wrong there. Now, have you discovered anything fascinating about your Note?
I haven't had much time to look at it recently. Yeah, but I do like being able to whip out the stylus, make a note on the screen. Literally, you can just write on the screen. You don't have to unlock the screen. You don't have to do any of that. And when you're done, it saves the note into your app, your notes app, or memo app, whatever you want to call it. And there it is right there for you to see. That's pretty cool.
Now, it seems to me, if the technology exists for when you do something in an email, the very next day you're getting slammed with ads for that product.
Yeah, that's a little spooky.
Then it must be possible when you do one of these notes, if you say doctor appointment on the 15th, for the machine learning to be smart enough to say, oh, I will put this in your calendar.
Right. Yep. There may be a skill for that, to borrow from Amazon's phraseology.
Or when you say to your Echo or to your home, hey, put me down for an appointment on such and such, it automatically feeds that into your phone.
I do believe it does feed it into your Google Calendar.
Yeah. Well, I want to see that happen. I haven't figured that out.
Oh, I see. You've been messing around with that, have you?
I have. Well,
yeah. I do like the fact you can do the OKG and HeyG and things like that from without having to unlock your screen as well.
Yeah.
But it works better if you have your screen unlocked. You like the face recognition thing.
Yeah, yeah. Great way to unlock the device. And it seems, now it's interesting. Of course, if you're wearing sunglasses, the phone just goes, there's nobody there.
That's interesting. So it measures, obviously, one of the metrics it has is eyes.
Pupil center.
Or something like that.
Things like that.
Interesting.
Of course, as we all know, Equifax was breached.
Oh, yeah, they had their problems.
146 million U.S. consumers for several hours on this last week. The site was manipulated again, this time, to put a fraudulent Adobe Flash update, which, when clicked, infected visitors' computers with adware that was detected by only 3 of 65 various antivirus providers. The malware. Now, why can't they get this stupid site logged out? We know that, what was it, last week, people came to the Equifax site and were being directed to a fake phishing site?
I shake my head. I don't know. I don't know anything about cybersecurity, in the sense that I don't know how complicated it is. It must be complicated. But you would think that there would be some relatively easy ways to lock down some of these things or make it impossible for them to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
So,
the download, fake downloads, but just that their server is so vulnerable that their page can be apparently hacked at will. That's a scary thing because these guys are big. They're the biggest.
Yep.
And why can't, if they can't keep their stuff under lock and digital key, what chance do the rest of us have?
Well, and the consumer has no control over that information.
Correct.
That's in Equifax. I didn't put it there. I can't get it out. I can't really do a heck of a lot with
it. Can be totally bogus, and you can't do, you have to challenge it.
Yes.
Because they are considered right until you get it changed.
Exactly. Yep, you have to have pretty good documentation that whatever they're saying is so, ain't so, so to speak.
Yeah, so you gotta wonder about, the data security. And there's something to be said for people who don't own a computer, don't own a smartphone, and deal strictly in cash. You're still going to be picked up by cameras all over the place. But that'll probably draw attention to you if you do that.
Yeah.
So, California, about a year ago, remember they had all kinds of hostility towards driverless cars. The city of San Francisco a driverless car company packing, and they banned robots on the sidewalks and things like that. Well, the DMV is noted the fact that, well, probably at the highest levels, it was noted that the which I forget which company it was. It got that went off to Texas and set up shop down there. Mm. The powers that be have said, you know, we're kind of blowing an opportunity here. California is trying to be more accommodating to self-driving cars. The state DMV has modified its regulations to streamline the testing and using the testing and use of fully autonomous cars, those that don't need anyone behind the wheel. And in some facts, they don't even have a wheel.
That's crazy.
There might be an override switch that you can on the dashboard that you can hit, and it will go over to the curb, but you cannot take manual control. Now, we've talked about, and a lot of people are going, oh, no, I don't want this thing going, you know, Terminator on me and smashing smashing me into a wall.
But
what are the odds? The scenario that Brenda came up with on the way to work, or on the way here to the station, is that somebody goes into town, has a too good of a time.
Right.
They're in no condition to get behind the wheel.
Right.
When you're out on the road these days, it seems like there's an awful lot of people in various stages and reasons of impairment. And we talked about that senior citizens community that had a fairly fixed enclosed area.
Right. It's a structured environment. It's not like you're trying to go drive in the middle of the downtown somewhere with semi-trucks and cars and all kinds of pedestrians, et cetera, et cetera.
An environment where things remain generally the same.
Right.
And a repetitive task.
Right.
That's the definition of a great job for a robot.
Yep. And they didn't have a lot of, you know, outside traffic to begin with. So, yeah, it's just much more dynamic in the real world. But my brother was telling me about how the big car companies are testing driverless cars in San Francisco because of the traffic, and California wants these things tested. And they're required to report collisions. This is how I understand the story. And there had been, up to the writing of this article that he was reading, in undoubtedly in one of his automotive magazines or something, up to that point there had been 8 accidents, all of which were the other driver's fault, not the car's fault. And 6 of those 8 or something like that anyway, a substantial number of the situations involved people on their cell phones.
Uh-huh.
Messing around with texting or something.
Including
with their
the
cell
guy
phone.
Who was involved in the collision and took off.
Yes.
And was captured on the
yes.
15 cameras.
Yes,
that
yeah, exactly.
The self-driving car.
Yeah,
has.
The self-driving car. The driver actually apparently had to take it over manually to really avoid being hit. And as it was, they were hit, but much lighter than they would have been had the automatic driving system been there. And it was a hit and run, but they had it all on video, so that was a really expensive ticket, I'm sure.
And here again, you talk to people and say, well, I'm never putting my hands and my life into the hands of a machine. You do every time
you
climb on an elevator.
Yeah. There's
there are no more elevator operators.
Many examples of that.
Well, something might go wrong. Something might go wrong with the elevator. You know, we
sometimes
simply
things go
because
wrong
because we aren't used to it.
Right, right. I think self-driving cars have some potential, particularly for seniors, and leaving them with more autonomy and mobility than they might have otherwise, where they quit driving for a variety of reasons, still perfectly capable of living at home and whatnot, but, you know, maybe they want to go to the friend's house or something mm-hmm. like that, and they're just not comfortable driving anymore.
Yeah.
And or they can't drive anymore for, you know, their arthritis is too bad or something like that.
I'm still predicting scaled public transportation.
Oh, I'm
systems.
Sure that that's going to be part of it.
What is not
and
in use,
I'm,
it's charging in a solar kiosk somewhere.
And I'm waiting for the highways in major urban areas, Portland, San Francisco, New York, are all autonomous driving cars, and you're not allowed to have a manually operated car in the environment. Or
I think
if you
it
do,
will,
it's one lane.
I
you
think
know,
it will start out with between, first one lane and then another, and then 2 lanes and then 3, and then manual driven cars are down to just one lane.
Well, there is definitely some place for that to some extent.
Now, I saw experiments with that being conducted when I still lived down in San Diego almost 15 years ago.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's not a new idea.
More than
by
15
any means.
Years ago, there was a stretch of a freeway of the, was it the 805, I believe, was dedicated to
testing these
cars, about a 2-mile stretch for autonomous vehicle testing.
Of course, driving on a freeway is very different than driving in
Correct.
City traffic. So that's the thing, is really highway driving, the self-driving car should do fairly well.
Yeah.
But the, other vehicles in other environments, that's a different story. Downtown traffic is certainly not the freeway.
Yep. So, hey, if we've got a couple of fans of Bitcoin who occasionally listen to this show. In fact, one of the guys was telling me, you know, he was trying to explain to me about mining the cryptocurrency, that which I still don't quite grasp 100%.
I don't understand that at all. I haven't really delved into it because I'm not really interested in investing in Bitcoin.
Right.
However, maybe I should have.
Because. We're starting to think bubble here because, warning.
You got to wonder.
It's a chain reaction, runaway situation. Bitcoins have surpassed $5,100 in value. That's up from the beginning of the year, $966. So that's a 750% increase.
You know, I'm no great student of economics in the sense of pretending to understand all that stuff, but these kinds of things are unsustainable. And there always seems to be some sort of peak, some dramatic something or another, and then psh, it all goes away in a flash.
Yeah.
The buildup's much longer than the downfall.
Of course, we told you about J.P. Morgan's head, Jamie Dimon. He said that Bitcoin is a fraud, and ultimately it will blow up. or the government's going to clamp down on them. In any event, people who have put a whole pile of money into this stuff... Might want to rethink it. There are those who think that just as the internet was to make everybody free and equal and information was going to flow freely to every citizen on the planet. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Not quite.
It didn't work out that way. The bot was supposed to be a free speech sort of thing. Look what happened there.
Immediately got corrupted.
Right. And so human nature is going to kick
Absolutely.
In. Absolutely. And the Bitcoin is going to go kaboom. Japan's government has implemented rules that recognize Bitcoin as a payment method. India and Sweden considering their own virtual currencies. Celebrities have gotten involved. Boxer Floyd Mayweather, socialite Paris Hilton, and actor Jamie Foxx promoting Bitcoin offerings. This is the new, like every gold rush, eventually it taps out and it crashes and burns.
Right. And if you've invested real money into it, you would lose all of that. The idea of a Bitcoin kind of thing, though, was sort of in Star Trek, where they had credits, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
nobody packs around a wallet with money in it, type of thing, because you don't need it. This is some universal currency that is all virtual, if you will, which is kind of how I feel like my money is, because I never see it.
Yeah,
it comes into the bank account and it gets spent and. We never see it. It's kind of interesting.
Yep. By the way, if you have disabled updates on your computer and you have Windows 10, you should probably turn them back on for at least a little while. The older version of Windows 10, version 1511, is going out of support, which means it will no longer get those security patches that everybody...
knows and loves.
Everybody knows and loves.
So they always show up at the most inopportune times.
Yeah, this 2-year-old version of Windows 10. You have to intentionally have turned off your Windows updates in order for this to be a problem.
That's true. That's not a good idea.
I've never seen it as a big... They've gotten better about the updates, shutting you down in the middle of your operations and things like that. I haven't had a project get messed up. By Windows 10 for quite a while. So they're definitely taking a look at that. All the time for this hour of Boomer Tech Radio. Another hour coming up after the top of the hour news. Bob and Brenda say, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Hall.com. I'm Ron DeRostro. Reince Priebus has been interviewed by investigators looking into possible Trump campaign ties to Russia.
Former White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus was interviewed Friday by investigators working for Special Counsel Robert Mueller in the probe of potential coordination between Russia and the Trump campaign. Attorney William Burke, who represents Priebus, says the former chair of the Republican National Committee was happy to answer all of their questions. Investigators are probing whether Trump campaign aides coordinated with the Kremlin to influence the outcome of the 2016 presidential election. Other current and former White House aides are expected to be interviewed by Mueller's team in the coming weeks. Mike Garcia, Washington.
Governor Jerry Brown and Senators Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris set to visit the fire zones this afternoon as the massive wildfires continue to burn in California's wine country. Napa County Fire Chief Barry Bierman says although the Napa Valley winds haven't been as strong as forecasted, they still could be a factor as crews work to contain the various fires in the county.
We're still not out of the woods. There is wind, but happy to say it's not as strong as it could have been. We're under red flag currently for wind and low humidity, so we're not out of the woods and have work to do.
Officials are issuing health warnings for residents not to try to clean up debris that might contain chemicals and other harmful materials. Consumers, health officials, and state attorneys general alarmed by a Trump administration decision to end subsidies that cut medical costs for more than 6 million Americans. Nearly 20 states say they'll sue to keep the payments that help lower costs of deductibles and copays and were part of the Affordable Care Act. Millions of Social Security recipients and other retirees will get a 2% increase in benefits next year. It's the largest increase since 2012, but comes to only about $25 a month for the average beneficiary. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Yes, thanks to Relief Factor, I'm out of pain, and many of you have also ordered Relief Factor, and it's been great for you. Well, I have some good news from Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor. I know these two fellows, and you're going to be very happy to hear that in October, for everyone ordering the three-week quick start for just $19.95, Pete and Seth are going to send $5 of that $19.95 to Africa New Life to help rescue and care for a hurting child in Rwanda. For many, many years, Pete and Seth have had a real heart for children needing help and are now doing even more. So bottom line, if you're struggling with pain, back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, or even general muscle aches and pains, go to ReliefFactor.com and order the three-week quick start for just $19.95. Help yourself and help rescue a child. Go to ReliefFactor.com and lower or even eliminate your pain. ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384.
President Trump says football players should show respect for the flag and the national anthem before they play their games.
When we honor the flag, we pay tribute to the men and women who have given everything for its defense. We renew the bonds of love and loyalty we owe to our fellow citizens. to every American who looks to the stars and stripes and sees woven into its fabric their past, their future, and their place in our great American family.
Senator Bernie Sanders says Republican budget would harm families.
We need a budget that reflects the needs of working families, of the middle class, and not just the wealthiest people in our country, nor the largest campaign contributors. Our job now is to stand up, fight back, and to defeat this horrendous budget.
And you can find more of these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrom. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz offers a sobering assessment of the 2018 midterm election cycle. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has our story.
Speaking to a group of wealthy conservative donors in New York, Senator Cruz said, in his words, "If tax reform crashes and burns, if on Obamacare nothing happens, we could face a bloodbath." He also told the donors in New York that without a win on tax reform or health care, Republicans could see what he termed a Watergate-level blowout. Cruz is referencing the 1974 elections after the Watergate scandal, where Democrats gained 43 seats in the House and several seats in the Senate.
Republicans, who control the House, the Senate, and the White House, have failed to repeal Obamacare. In addition, there are some early signs their effort to pass tax reform could be hitting some tough challenges. Check out more news, read more analysis. It's all at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Boomer Tech Radio, that's the name of the show. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
This is all about analog living in a digital world. Welcome to Hour 2 of the program with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, the tech news we certainly hope you could use. By the way, the theme music that you hear, 8-Bit Junkie, composed and performed by George Wood. He's an English fellow who does music jingles and things like that. And I heard this tune some years ago when I was getting this show on the air, and I said, hey, I like that. So wrote George and said, hey, mind if I use that for my show? And he said, sure. So 8 years later, still playing it.
Still sounds as good.
Still sounds as good, yes.
Thus, anyway.
Well, we cover any number of stories about technology, about new technology, old technology, how we interact with technology, how we love to hate technology in some cases, and how
it affects our lives.
Technology is outstripping the legal system.
There's that.
Case in point from The Verge. By the way, a lot of our stories we have curated out of the Flipboard app. They have a technology section that's very good, and we bind them all together in the Boomer Tech Radio magazine in Flipboard. And if you subscribe to that and become a follower, the little numbers that it counts goes up, and that makes me feel like somebody's actually paying attention. An Australian court has accepted an unsent mobile text message as an official will.
Wow.
So it didn't have any physical reality, but he had apparently, this is according to the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, was written by a 55-year-old man who took his own life in 2016. when he checked out the drafts folder of his phone, the message also contained information on how to access his bank account, as well as for as well as directions for what to do with his ashes. Now, under Australian law in Queensland, if a person dies without a will, the management of the estate is automatically assigned to the next of kin. In this case, it would have been the deceased's wife. But the text was addressed to the man's brother, indicating that the brother and nephew should have been the recipient of his house and funds.
The wife brought a case to the Supreme Court, Queensland Supreme Court, seeking to take over the control over the estate and assets. And she argued that the text couldn't be considered as valid because it was never sent, but the judge disagreed.
Yeah.
So, interesting in this particular case. In my uncle, by marriage, had a handwritten will on a piece of legal paper or whatever, a binder paper or notepad or something like that. And it was properly signed. It was notarized or anything like that, but it is was a legal will.
Mm-hmm. Now, current Queensland law states that a will has to be signed by you in front of two witnesses, both of whom must be over 18, cannot be visually impaired,
cannot be for obvious reasons.
Beneficiaries. but the law was amended in 2006 to allow for special cases with less formal documentation, and now it appears that something composed on your phone constitutes a legal document.
At least in Australia.
In Australia. That may set, it may be
it
quoted
could set
as a precedent.
Yep, that's very possible.
So we told you last week that Google had launched their new mini speaker, a much more compact version of the Google Home, with a little touch on top. Google is going to switch off top touch functionality. A bug was documented that essentially recorded everything around the gadget and sent it off to Google.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
yes.
The hardware issue caused the touch sensor on top of the device to register touches pretty much constantly. Well, touching the device is an alternative to saying, okay, G.
Right.
Waking the device up to listen to your commands.
Right.
So all your voice interactions were sent to Google and kept in your account history. If you have a Google Home, by the way, you can turn that feature off. So the device was constantly sending clips of ambient noise and conversation along the way, eventually producing a nice searchable database of the thousands of clips organized by time and potentially content if they were to be transcribed. Now, this would be a surveillance state's dream, and this is what that prosecutor in the Midwest thought that the Echo was doing, because they wanted Amazon to release all records of all recordings made by the Echo, and Amazon said there are no recordings. It doesn't constantly listen unless it's told to do something, so they had to settle for, like, the playlist. Because apparently the person who was charged with the murder had ordered up a couple of songs. But their argument was, the prosecutor's argument was, well, maybe there was something going on in the background.
Oh, boy.
Google officially said that they take user privacy and product quality concerns very seriously. They did receive a few reports of the issue, so they have issued a software update to shut down the top touch functionality, probably due to a faulty sensor on a certain run of these machines.
Yep, they'll figure it out and probably reinstitute it when they solve the actual problem.
Yep, so interesting.
Yep. So how many paths of entertainment providers do we have? Let's see, we have three or four, I suppose.
Right now, well, okay, we have the Fire Stick, and we have an account with our Amazon Prime.
Right.
So we have Prime Video.
You have Prime
and
Video.
We signed up for
Hulu. We have Netflix.
Netflix, and then HBO through our Amazon account.
Okay, so HBO through Amazon doesn't count as a separate thing, though.
Well, okay, yeah.
We are
signed up for HBO now.
Okay, so there's four that we pay for, and they're roughly what, $10 a month, most of them. Still, at $40 a month is way cheaper than cable,
or the satellite,
which we don't have access to. Satellite, which has a bunch of stuff on it we don't want, and we don't watch it all the time anyway. Now, it is possible to get satellite for less than $40 a month for a while.
Under the new, yeah, if under the new packaging and things
right,
like that.
Things
yeah.
like that. But if they you go with the lower cost plans, you really don't get much to pick from. And quite frankly, I've gotten so used to watching things without ads that I hate regular television. I don't like the ads. Mm-hmm. They're annoying. And they're repetitive. That makes them even more annoying.
Yep. So Netflix made a genius move, in my opinion. They made a transition seamlessly from get the DVD in the mailbox, watch the DVD,
yeah.
put it in the envelope, and send it back.
If you could get it to play with all the greasy pizza fingerprints
well,
on it. And
that
such
was
like.
The problem when Blu-ray came out. The incidence of unplayable discs went through the roof.
Right.
Well, fortunately, that was about the time that high-definition video streaming became a reality. Most people, of course, are on a streaming plan with Netflix, maybe a few others. But now Apple TV came into the picture, but it never really got any traction. But now Apple TV is going to be releasing its own content, such as Amazing Stories. Remember that from Steven Spielberg?
Uh-huh.
It's a great series.
Oh, yes, yes.
It was just a couple of years ago that the House of Cards from Netflix became a breakthrough in streaming TV, the first online-only series to get nominated for Emmys. But at this year's Emmy,
right.
The Handmaid's Tale won a whole bunch of awards.
And that was produced by Hulu.
Yes. So a year ago, Netflix, Hulu, a year ago, I had given up on Hulu. I thought it was just, you know, it was badly run, commercials showing up in strange places. Lately, we've been discovering some shows on Hulu that we couldn't find anywhere. I'm reliving my childhood with Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Oh, it's fun that way. Yeah, when we first checked into it, there was a lot of interesting content in there, but it was just not run well. Ads would pop in whenever. It was just very annoying. They figured it out that I think they had a lot of people say come and go. And I have to admit, The Handmaid's Tale is very well done.
Yeah.
It's quite the production.
But all this content outlet has increased opportunities for content creators.
Well,
shows that wouldn't have a chance because the time was, if you had a television show, you had three chances to get it on the air in the United States.
Yep. Well, and people want on-demand viewing. That's been true for some time. They don't want to pay a fortune for it either, per se. And I think they're like me. I found I'm pretty average consumer that way. Is I don't want ads, or I don't like the ads. They're just annoying. I don't mind if you do like PBS, where you put announcements at the beginning and the end of a program. I can deal with that. But mm-hmm. getting interrupted in the middle of it, and I know they build up to drama points, and you can't wait till the ads are over to see what happens next. Why bother? Just get the fabulous one. But it's also created some competition. Not only has it provided opportunity for other producers to do things, or, you know, people that... artists or whatever, but the competition is getting there as well. So
yeah, so Netflix is investing big money in more original content. We'll see how that works out. Hopefully they won't be as quick to axe a show that is just finding its legs as, say, Fox Network or some of those.
Right.
A lot of people remember the short-lived series Firefly that was just starting to get legs under it when
right.
the executives panicked, pulled the show, and stuck in a reality show in its place.
Yeah, yuck.
Yeah, indeed. Hulu, in case you didn't know, is owned by a consortium of Disney, Time Warner, and Comcast, and Fox.
Uh-huh.
Now, they are kind of growing against Netflix. The biggest competitor is Amazon. They, of course, use video to draw people to their retail store. And Amazon's original series, we've seen a couple of those that are very promising. So, but what happens when the market fragments a bit more? When Disney takes all its Marvel marbles and goes off and starts doing his own thing, but will it affiliate with Hulu? That would seem to be a lot more sensible than creating yet another outlet to pay yet another fee to.
Right, that's the thing. So
now, maybe if you have Hulu, the Disney stuff will be an add-on.
So it, I think it's only inevitable that somebody does an aggregate type of thing. So along this line, this article comes from 9 to 5 Mac. Movies Anywhere is being created, and what it's going to do is combine movie libraries across iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Vudu, V-U-D-U, not Hulu, but Vudu.
Yes, we've watched a couple of, in fact, when we watched All Is Lost, that was a Vudu film.
Right, from multiple studios. So this is a little different. This isn't a case of where you go stream it, per se, is that you actually buy the movies digitally. And so it's a virtual store, if you want to look at it that way, where you can go and get these movies. Now, as I understand, at least I don't think you stream them, right? I mean, you can, but it's a program that connects your iTunes, Google Play movies, Amazon Instant Video, and Vudu digital movie libraries all together, so you can share all of the movies you've purchased or about to purchase between platforms, regardless of where you made the original purpose.
Yeah, now,
so it's a way to build your library into one easy,
of a movie
more easily accessed.
You might want to watch more than once, but
right.
How many of us have stacks of DVDs, and before that, videotapes, that we bought because we really liked the movie, and we've never picking them out of the box since?
Possibly.
Because there's too much new stuff to watch.
Well, I hadn't thought about that. Or now you can go to Netflix and watch it again.
Exactly. But some movies are exclusively on pay it first.
That's
a lot of them
true.
Come out to buy first, and then after like a year or so, then they come out to
stream. Then there's some that aren't readily available in whatever service that it is that you might have. Let's say it's on Netflix, but it's not on Amazon, and you don't have Amazon, you might be more inclined to go buy the hard copy, so to speak.
So, transportation, we have, here's a story out of Engadget. We've mentioned a couple of times about the Hyperloop. And Hyperloop is, well, it is high speed. What we're talking about here in this country that may or may not be high speed rail in California is sort of a laugh, isn't it?
Oh, yes, kind of an
albatross.
How many
billions of dollars spent connecting two spots nobody particularly wants to go, and a train that isn't expected to go more than about 150 miles an hour? Top speed. And they're calling it high-speed rail.
Well, that part is okay, the fact that it goes 150 miles an hour, because my car can't do that. But where they've started building this and the planned route and how they're going to do it is just like, this does not make sense, and it's undoubtedly going to be over budget and so on and so forth, and really is already old technology in a lot of ways.
Well, a lot of people, not many people were paying attention to, because it was another thing from Musk, and then he released it as kind of an open source technology. Well, the Virgin Group, that's Richard Branson, has announced that they're investing in Hyperloop One. That's a startup that has recently demonstrated a working prototype of the travel system. The company will rebrand as Virgin Hyperloop One. Branson described the technology as the world's most revolutionary train service. Now, let me throw something out here. Right now, we move people, goods, and services in little boxes that spew lots of contaminants into the air, right? On highways that have to be maintained at fixed speeds controlled by people. What Hyperloop One, I think, is going, and of course, if you're not familiar with Hyperloop One, it is an enclosed tube. The air pressure inside is reduced to cut the amount of friction, and then linear accelerator motors shoot this thing along at 400 plus miles an hour.
It's pretty fast.
If something goes wrong, yeah, it's going to go wrong pretty bad. But
spectacularly,
so, same with an airplane.
Right. There's many things that we take for granted
every
day.
People get on airplanes every day.
Don't think much of it.
There will be, I think, a fair number of safety features built into this thing. But imagine cutting the cost per mile of not only people, but of, you know, these cargo pods could not only carry people, but goods.
Yep.
Very rapidly.
Absolutely.
Between transit points.
Yep.
Then you put them on a truck and send them to their final destination. Now, I expect the idea of cargo carrying on a Hyperloop is going to be vehemently opposed. by the Teamsters, but their days are limited anyway because one of the first applications for autonomous vehicles are going to be long-haul trucks.
I would think so.
That get in a lane, stay in a lane.
Certain speed.
For hours.
Yeah.
It's a set of speed. If you look at them going up, you know, down the highway, they're often just in a, basically it's a train that's not coupled.
Coming to an interstate near you. Hmm.
So with Branson's backing, I think that Hyperloop 1 has got some odds of going a lot further, a lot faster. Branson wants to see a Hyperloop connecting London and Edinburgh with a trip time of 50 minutes, which I'm not sure what the distance involved in. But that's if it's Edinburgh, Scotland, and London, England.
Yeah, that's a fair distance. Well, plus don't you have to cross some water in there?
Not to get to Scotland.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's over.
My geography there is a little weak. But nevertheless, anything you can do that's fast, imagine being able to live in L.A. and go to New York for dinner.
Yeah, there we go. without having to. And I think it would be a lot less vulnerable to an attack or a problem than an aircraft.
Could be.
So
certainly isn't going to fall out of the sky.
Yeah. Now, we still don't have an iPhone X in anybody's hand. We've seen the, we've received the specs, received the info on the thing, but so far an iPhone X has not yet actually come out into the wild. But everybody knows what it's going to be like. Now, a Korean publication has formed a task force to develop foldable OLED screens for future iPhone models. In other words, the thing is the size of a regular phone, and then it folds out to be like a tablet size screen when you're holding it in your hand, and then you fold it back shut.
That's kind of interesting. I mean, that brings forth some thoughts about, you know, what is a tablet going to look like in the near future?
Right.
And then will there be a difference between a tablet and a smartphone, really? Is that going to blur the lines between the two where they all just kind of become one device?
Mm-hmm. I think it is going to imagine it folds out and then folds out again like a map or a menu or something. You know.
But like it better be easier to fold up than a map.
Yeah,
most people struggle with folding up maps.
And fold it the wrong way doesn't
break. Or many people do. I shouldn't say most, but many people do. Mm-hmm. It can be a challenge if you're not hip to the tricks of folding a map.
So, NVIDIA. Now, when we talk about NVIDIA, most people think about their high-end graphics cards.
Yep.
Which power a lot of games. What does it take to power high-end games? Lots and lots of number crunching. Another task that requires lots and lots of number crunching and at very rapid speeds, of course, is operating an autonomous car.
Yep.
NVIDIA is revealing a new artificial intelligence computer based on their Drive PX platform. It is designed specifically to enable Level 5, that's completely self-driving, autonomous vehicles to market. This is computer basically built on graphics processor units, so it's stuff that's already out there, just putting lots and lots of processors in parallel.
Right.
So
be interesting to see how that goes.
Vehicles today using NVIDIA tech to field on-demand autonomous taxis include basically an entire data center in the trunk.
I'm going to have to kick out that subwoofer that lives
back there. The Pegasus packs in 4 machine learning processors, including 2 of NVIDIA's latest system-on-a-chip models. And looks like this thing, the whole system is about the size of a license plate, has very low data consumption, and looks like another step on the way to a self-driving car, NVIDIA's Pegasus computer.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, all kinds of cool stuff. I told you last week that Mattel had gotten in trouble with their artificial intelligence learning system, the Aristotle. because it was considered to be way intrusive it was basically a listening device,
right,
into kids'
room. Yeah, not good for kids' toys, for sure.
Yeah. So Mattel has reportedly been, this according to an article in TechCrunch, taking great plans to update its product lines for kids who are growing up with smartphones. The toy maker teamed up, with Osmo.
They might be steamed up, too.
Yeah, for an iPad-ready update to the popular Hot Wheels line. Now the company is enlisting the help of another tech startup, Dash Robotics. They are coming out with a product called Kamigami. It's a robotics platform that lets kids build their own robotic bugs. And they're cute.
They're cute. Bugs. Yeah, they're very cute.
The toys are coming out are out now on Target stores. It would take about an hour to assemble the six-legged robotic kit using foldable plastic sheets. Each comes with a different origami shell that turns them into various bugs like mantises, ladybugs, and scorpions. This is all outgrowth of UC Berkeley's Biomimetic Millisystems Lab, which draws inspirations from nature to build more efficient robotics. So your kid can build these things.
Sort of like robotic origami. I think that's where the name comes from.
Yeah.
It's kind of cute.
Pretty cool.
About 50 bucks.
About 50 bucks each. It includes an accelerometer, gyroscope, and an IR transmitter receiver. Allows them to interact with their surroundings. All for 50 bucks. Think about that.
Pretty cool.
Boomer Tech Radio, Bob and Brenda, back with more tech news you can use. One more segment after this.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing, Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Are you a trivia geek? Think you know pop culture? Are you ready for a challenge?
Yeah? No? Maybe? Whatever. It's fun, and that's all that matters. Grab your friends and head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play the River Trivia Challenge. Live every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock inside Overtime Lounge. Test your knowledge and show your skills by playing the River Trivia Challenge for a chance to win free slot play and fantastic prizes. For official rules and details, log on to WindRiver.com. Trivia is better at the river. Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino's Overtime Lounge as we make your Wednesdays more entertaining with Comedy Night. Enjoy a comical, knee-slapping good time with live comedians every Wednesday. Show starts at 8. What would be great after a long day at the office? Drinks, laughs, hoots and giggles with friends at a live comedy show every Wednesday night. Enjoy the humor with different comedians every week. No cover charge. For all the details, log on to WindRiver.com. Must be 21 to attend this hilarious event. Comedy is better at the river.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Life's Journey. David and Brianna Strang were newly married, starting on a lifelong journey together. They were ready for a place to call their own, but as recent college graduates with new jobs, they were worried their short work history wouldn't provide enough financial support to qualify them for their first home loan. That's when Tri-Counties Bank home loan specialist Becky Sim joined in on the journey and charted a new path for them. Becky and her team used the Strang's recent college diplomas and new salaries to create a sound case for their future finances, qualifying them for their first home loan. Welcome home, David and Brianna.
Hooray!
Home lending, home equity lines of credit, life's journey. For personalized problem solving, California community branches, over 25,000 surcharge-free ATMs, advanced online and mobile banking, plus live banker support 7 days a week. Switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank. Service with solutions. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 458732.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Time has come for 51. Becoming the 51st state won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Tired of California passing laws that make your life more difficult?
Find out what's happening and how you can help every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Wynn Carpenter
and Terry Raposa
here on KCNR 1460 a.m.
Listen for Jefferson State of Mind now at its new time, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on AM 1460 KCNR.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Thank you very much for listening to Boomer Tech Radio. Drop us an email, boomertechradio@gmail.com. Visit the website, boomertechradio.com. Subscribe to the magazine on Flipboard, Boomer Tech Radio Magazine. Are you picking up a pattern here? You can also subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Or you can download episodes directly from the website or the KCNR archives. Lots of ways to catch up on Boomer Tech Radio. Interesting. Now, we started the show off with robotics. We might as well end the show with robotic things. In spite of the fact we hope we have reassured you that they're not marching down the street ready to enslave us all.
They're not sentient yet.
Not yet.
But quite some time.
They can do menial tasks very, very quickly and efficiently. Case in point, a drone developed by MIT students that could revolutionize the way that big warehouses operate. Every year, companies lose money because items are misplaced in their warehouses. The tiny drone flies around the warehouse, scans tags, and notes locations, and helps indicate when an item is in the wrong place, because if you're just relying on normal inventory control, you've got a bin, a shelf, an aisle, things like that.
What if it's not where it's supposed to be?
Yeah, if the item isn't where it's supposed to be, and I have put up with this. It turns up several months later, it might no longer be a viable product, or it's been rotated out of inventory. Now it's a big problem.
Right.
Or did somebody steal it?
Right. Yeah. What happened to it?
Yeah. So this is, rather than pay somebody to walk around the warehouse and check every item, this thing can just fly down the aisle and scan the tags on the boxes and say, oh, that one's in the wrong place, and send in a work order for a handling robot to come put it in the right place.
Yeah, or it can even detect the little, RFIDs, frequency ID tags. It can detect that and tell where it is. I would foresee that this could actually be put into the data could be fed into a computer that would then say, that doesn't belong there, it belongs over here, or, oh, yeah, you have one more, and here's where it is, or any number of applications that way. It's sort of like going to the store and say, do you have any more of these? And the clerk clicks on the thing and says, well, we have one in the store somewhere.
Yeah.
It's probably in a customer's basket. Right. It hasn't gone through the checkout stand yet.
Right.
It's pretty crazy.
Oh, before we, well, okay, we want to talk some of these robotic things here. But I did want to mention, too, before we get on to the other robot story I wanted to do, a couple of stories here. One of them about Amazon is now going to let teens shop on its services using mom and dad's account with certain limits. The kids won't be able to look at, before this, Amazon would only sell to somebody who was 18 years of older.
Right.
Now, with parental consent, teens can shop on the site legitimately, but they can't access the credit card information or anything like that, and certain product lines, of course, are blocked.
Uh-huh.
So Amazon, of course, has proven itself to be very, very good at getting people to use tech to shop more. They offer specials, yep, on certain things.
Well, even their little Echoes and things like that, the smart buttons, you know, mm-hmm, tap the thing and it automatically reorders stuff for you and things like that.
No, we're kind of Luddites in that way, in that we use our Echo to play music and run timers, but we've never ordered and check facts and weather reports and things like that. We've never actually ordered something through our Amazon speaker. I haven't anyway.
Yeah,
maybe.
I know. I want to touch it. Would you find that to be a feel it? Yeah. It's like.
Well, when how is it different from buying something online?
It isn't in a lot of ways, and they're collecting data on you no matter what. Yeah. As soon as you buy something online, somebody knows about it, other than the merchant that you're doing business with, and even then, those merchants can kind of tell what you've looked at. They certainly know what you've shopped for before, and they can target emails with, mm-hmm, you. That's why I have a junk email box that I use for all of these things. If I order online and they require an email, I give them my junk email box, mm-hmm, which I might check once a week.
Now, our Echo, apparently, maybe, thanks to a more recent update, can tell distinctly, figure out whether it's you talking to it or me talking to it, and you can have messages directed for a particular person,
mm,
or order something on your particular account. Now, of course, we mentioned the household subscription allows children age 13 to 17 to shop on the site. So Amazon is rapidly evolving into a Jarvis for the home.
Right.
Which is basically aimed at shoving stuff down your throat.
Well,
or making it easy to spend your money. It's the impulse buy. It's the candy at the checkout counter.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mommy, I want that.
Yes, definitely. So the, but it's good that there's parental controls available as well. The other interesting thing about this is that, to me, is that Amazon is becoming the online Walmart, if you will. Even to the point of having acquired the grocery chain Whole Foods. And how long before this is the way we all do shopping is you just get online and the little driverless car shows up and delivers it. Oh, what a time saver. That would be wonderful.
Amazon may still own Walgreens and CVS.
There you go. Yeah, they own a lot.
So they're looking at getting, and this is a no-brainer, getting
huge
into pharmaceuticals.
One-stop shopping.
If you have, now we already have pharmaceutical companies where you set up and order your medications and they are sent to you. So it's a natural market for Amazon to move into.
Absolutely.
Now, could it be abused? Yeah. Could it be used against you? Yeah.
Of course.
But so could anything.
Well, you know, it's just like if you have a Gmail account, you get ads directed at you accordingly. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, throughout my whole career, I have been something of a sound nerd, audio systems nerd. You know, I DJed for a time. I set up sound system. I was running around fairgrounds at 12 or 13 years of age, following around the sound system guy, who is a fellow by the name of Larry Brown. And I pestered the poor man incessantly, begging him to let me help out. So he would hand me the microphone to go plug it in someplace. I actually got to announce a couple of things, which led me ultimately to what I'm doing here. But anyway, I've had a appreciation and a love for all things audio. Now, I'm not a super-duper audiophile. I've never paid $800 for a set of speaker cables.
Not that kind of fan of
audio. I have installed that level of audio back during my stint as a home theater installation person.
You more like the devices and installing them and, you know, getting them to work, not so much using
them.
Now,
I have helped install super high-end, very expensive audio systems. One of the big names in the business is Master and Dynamic. How is that? Sounds like a movie title, Master and Dynamic.
That sounds funny. Well, a master in the business was the you know, vinyl die or the tape or the file that was used to create every other copy from that.
Now, if you are into audio systems, you know that $1,800 is not an unusual price for a high-end speaker system. But why in the world, Brenda, and I'll ask you this because you have a scientific mind. I know the answer to this. Why would you have a speaker made out of concrete?
Well, concrete is heavy, dense, solid.
And it doesn't resonate.
Yeah, and it shouldn't resonate.
We build speaker cabinets out of things that resonate, which adds coloration to the speaker. The MA770 near-field soundstage speaker from Master and Dynamic is encased in concrete. It weighs 35 pounds, so about the weight of a couple of cinder blocks, and costs $1,800.
Well, there's two advantages here. One, it's probably not going to tip over when the cats jump up on top of it. And two, the cats can't claw it.
Yeah.
It would be the ultimate cat nail, cat claw filer, you know?
The MA770 has Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and Chromecast, plus auxiliary and optical ports, so you can hook up pretty much anything to it. It has a stereo soundstage, but if you really want to go nuts, you can get two of them. If you want to go even further than that, you can use Google Assistant to enable the Home app to let your voice handle the music playback. Quite the beast. Now, this does not have AirPlay, but that's because Apple doesn't like to play nice with others. Reviewers say it has clean sound with healthy amounts of good bass. Designed by an architect, it has a very interesting flowing form, but the concrete block means it has very little resonance in the case. Definitely a niche product, but...
It's not unattractive looking.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to listen to. Out of the box, M&D suggests you use the device with Spotify, Pandora, SoundCloud, or Deezer. Now, these are all streaming audio services that are heavily compressed. I'd want to hear what this thing sounded like playing back, some master-grade tapes, high-end vinyl playback or something of that scope.
Yeah. Something that would test its...
But I've listened to a set of $8,000 speakers, and they are impressive.
I like that. Master and Dynamic. That's quite the name.
Yep. So, studio monitor speakers are very expensive. I can show you a set of speakers that are about $800 a pop that are about the size of a cereal box.
Oh, wow.
You know, tiny things. So if you're an audiophile,
might be of interest.
Go ahead and look at one of these things. Most of us aren't going to definitely be wanting getting into something quite that esoteric, but it's nice to know these products are out there. So.
Yep. Well, somebody must buy them.
Yep. Now we've seen Brenda. You've seen Razer products. You've seen that with the three snake logo
of
theirs.
Yes.
Their big claim to fame has been high-end keyboards. High-end mice, other accessories. They got into a line of gaming computers, Razer has. Now it looks like they may be ready to unveil their very first smartphone.
Huh. Everybody wants to get on that bandwagon.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of a niche smartphone. The phone will have a 5.7-inch display, resolution of 2560 by 1440, so an HD display, true HD. 64 gigs of internal storage, but to one real standout, this phone apparently will come with 8 gigs of operating RAM. Of course, more RAM means more power for the phone to work on.
Right. Yep.
The Razr could be one of the most powerful smartphones sent out. The phone will apparently be running a custom version of Android on top of Nougat. The announcement for the phone planned for November 1st.
That's kind of bizarre. I mean,
probably, I'll bet you this is going to be real big into gamers market.
Yeah. Well, there has to be some reason for somebody to do that. Razr is, of course, very familiar to the gamers. And I'm thinking, why does everybody have to have their own little smartphone?
Well, yeah. But just as the reason, why do some people drive Fords? Why do some people drive Chevys? Why do some people drive
right.
Porsches?
True.
Why are there Lexuses, you know? So niche phones, I think, and custom phones where you have a set of features.
Custom phones, yep.
There's been a lot of attempts to make modular phones. I think you're going to be able to order from the factory rather than say, okay, we've got, you know, this memory size, that memory size, those are your choices, and we got these two colors. That's it. That's your only choices. I think that the consumers are going to say, yeah, but I want a phone with these features built on top of this chassis, and I think you'll be able to custom order a phone with the features that you want.
That would be like trying to pick the cable channels you want only or satellite channels you want only. For some people, that undoubtedly is going to work pretty well because they don't need a lot of versatility or what have you, and it's a powerful enough phone or cleverly enough designed phone to work with some things. You're not locked into any particular system. Any particular, you know, there's only one app for this and one app for that type of thing. It would be nice if they could just make it so that it's a little more versatile, but it has the standard stuff. I don't know. We'll see. It's like cars, like you said. Some people want this or that, and it's all good.
Mm-hmm. All right. So as we get towards the end of the show here, we return to the robots, as we promised at the beginning of this segment. And another one of these articles that I have to carefully pick through.
This due article, to FCC regulation.
Yeah, coming from Uproc. Well, also, you know, there's certain levels of taste.
Well, there's that, of course.
So let's see here. It's no secret that new technology goes. By the way, before speaking of new technology and pornographic stuff. The chat room here at this very conservative radio station was invaded with porn spam this morning. Somebody went to the trouble of signing up, probably a bot, and inserted a spam link to a porn site, which when I saw the link come up and I saw the name of the person posting, which was this very young woman, it was a little thumb, you know, a little thumbnail picture that you get in the chat room.
Yeah.
It was the very tight T-shirt selfie sort of thing with lots of cleavage, and I went, uh-oh. That is not a typical listener of this radio station.
You think?
And I said, don't click that. Don't touch that dial. Don't click that link. Well, I went to the domain. You know, if you're in a chat room and you see a link come up, first of all, never click on it because that's a good way to get a nasty cold on
your computer. Absolutely. That's right.
I looked at the domain name, and I don't even remember what it was, but I looked at the domain name and I said, something's hinky here. So I typed in just the domain name into a search engine, and the lead page came up, and it was all explicit stuff.
Nice. So.
Where I'm going with this is that sexuality often is a driver, an early adopter of new technologies, VCRs. The porn industry...
The web.
Yes, and the web. The porn industry boosted VCR sales dramatically. Because no longer did you have to go downtown to the icky theater
Yeah.
Or buy the 8mm films that were shipped to you discreetly in a plain brown envelope. instead, you just went down to the video store, slipped behind the curtain, make sure that nobody from your office was watching, and you pick out your selection. Remember those days people would slide behind the curtain?
I didn't pay too much attention, but I know this.
What was funny was it was a lot of housewives who were slipping behind the curtain to take home a little tape to spice things up. Anyway, those sales drove VCRs in sports. Porn and sports drive technology early adopters. And so here we are. The assumption is, of course, according to this article in UpRocks, that sex bots are coming into play here.
Yeah, well, the mainstream.
A lot of people think, this according to this article by Elia Stearns, who's a life and culture writer for UpRocks, she's reporting that the Bunny Ranch, which is a famous brothel in Nevada, is aiming to have sex robots in the next couple of years. A lot of people think that sex bots will do to human interaction what fast food did to the American diet.
Well,
I like that.
That's probably a pretty good analogy.
Yeah. So the mogul, Dennis Hoff, is the mogul behind the Moonlight Bunny Ranch and a half a dozen other legal brothels in the great state of Nevada. He is going to be implementing sex robots working alongside the human sex workers. In a press release, Hoff says, the next great innovations in our country will not only be cultural, but also technological. Sex robots are here to stay, and technology is further along than most people think. I want the Bunny Ranch to be a test bed for this cutting-edge tech. And if our clients like them, Bunny Bots...
I like it, Bunny Bots.
...will be a part of the experience offered at my brothels going into the next decade. Did you not watch Westworld, sir?
Yeah, exactly.
It goes wrong. It always goes wrong. You abuse them and they turn on you.
Oh, my goodness.
Me. I'm going through this trying to... Hoff... what name? Hoff. The Hoff. Kind of like Hoff... who was the guy on Baywatch?
Oh,
David
Hasselhoff.
Yeah. The Hoff. Yeah. The companies I'm in discussions with are constantly perfecting their sex robots to be the most physically satisfying on the market. But what about, the article writer goes on to talk about, the need for emotional intimacy? Well, the Bunny Ranch has various sessions that you can request, the most requested one of which is the girlfriend experience. In other words, if you are so inept at communicating with your fellow human beings, you can actually pay for somebody to pretend that they're interested in what you're saying. Companies are experimenting with artificially intelligent and interactive sex robot applications, so the upcoming generations of sex robots might be able to connect with Bunny Ranch clients on an intimate level and satisfy the emotional needs of brothel customers.
Now, what about the real women working in the brothel? What do they think about it? And apparently their reactions have been quite varied. Some of them feel like their job's being taken over, their turf's being invaded, and others are a-okay with it.
Yeah, I love this. I love this this quote. I'm not thrilled about the prospect of sharing the stage with an appliance, said Tierra Tay, a popular employee of the Bunny Ranch. It's challenging enough competing with dozens of other working girls. Now I have to compete with the Terminator too.
That's pretty good.
For. You know, the age of a first experience has been increasing among our current generation.
It's quite interesting.
For whatever reason.
Well, social media apparently is texting and whatnot is apparently partly responsible for that because of the you are connecting with people through that device on that level and not in person, face-to-face, so much.
So we run into these moral issues when it comes to these robots. These robots don't have to be particularly good in terms of being able to, we talk about robots that can't cross the room and open the door.
Right.
These don't have to.
Well, that's true.
They can pretty much do their job just
there. Just by being there.
Oh, me. Brave New World, which has such things in it.
It's always interesting.
Great finishing quote. We're still in the early ages of estimating the potential financial impact, but if the future holds as we unfold as we expect, sex robots may do for the Bunny Ranch what the iPhone did for Apple.
That's fairly optimistic, I would say.
I think we're a ways from implementing this, but stay tuned.
Never know.
Coming soon to a brothel near you. Oh, dear me. Boomer Tech Radio, Bob, Brenda, we've had a great time this week. Send us an email. Stop by the website. Download the podcast. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756F West Side Road.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump's former chief strategist Steve Bannon says economic nationalism and anti-globalism, the forces that he believes elected Mr. Trump, can begin a war that will overpower Republican elites.
Y'all didn't start it. The establishment started it. But I will tell you one thing. You all are going to finish it.
Speaking to a group of religious conservatives in Washington, D.C., Bannon says Republican incumbents in the House and Senate can't run and hide, and that his field of potential primary challengers is ready to take them on.